Welcome to The Point. I'm Brian Morris, filling in for Mindy Todd. Today we travel to Provincetown to speak with visual artist Jay Critchley. The Provincetown Art Association and Museum is presenting a retrospective of Critchley's career spanning more than 30 years. Critchley's work is thought-provoking, often controversial, and always unconventional. Visitors to the exhibit will see everything from an outhouse to photos of a sand-encrusted motel to a depiction of the Twin Towers using flashing disposable cameras. How is this exhibit structured? And let's go back first and just talk about how this retrospective came to be.
Well, I've been making art for many years, over three decades, and Brian Dunnigan submitted a proposal to the committee at Provincetown Art Association Museum, and so they basically approved it like 3 years ago. So we came up with a date about a year ago, so it gave us a year to actually plan the show. It's not traditional paintings on a wall. It's videos, it's performance, it's documentation of events and interventions. And so the show actually mixes installations with video, sculpture, and other ephemera.
Yeah. Now this, Jay, this encompasses most of the last 40 years or pieces of it?
Well, that was part of the challenge, was to figure out what to show and what not to show. So it's about 30 plus years of work. Mm-hmm. There's 15 projects represented here, because a lot of my work is by projects. And, of course, the name of the show, Jay Critchley Incorporated, is about the corporations and the personas that I create for various projects. For instance, like the NRC, which most people think of as the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. My NRC is the Nuclear Recycling Consultants, of which I'm president. And by being president, it gives me a lot of influence as a president of a corporation. I have a lot to say. I become an expert in a particular topic.
Self-appointed chairman of the board, right?
Exactly. And now, since the Supreme Court passed Citizens United, now corporations are individuals. So I started out personifying a corporation, and now I actually am one because individuals are now corporations.
So a lot of this is just a statement of your own views about corporations in general, the real corporations?
Yes, it's sort of a way to point at the fact that corporations have way too much influence in the society and the culture and politically. And like I said, even now it's even much more because of the campaign finance issue that was passed by the Supreme Court. So corporations are now basically running things.
So Jay, you would call yourself then generally, as you said a minute ago, this is not paintings on a wall per se. This is more, really much more visual art, installations and things like that, right?
It's hard to pin down what I do.
What's the name of this particular space where this hall?
Well, so this is the Hoffman Gallery. Hans Hoffman was an iconic painter and teacher in Provincetown in New York City for decades. And so this is the Hoffman Gallery. And in the gallery, in the center of the space, it's a very large, it's 50 by 30 feet, and the ceilings are 20 feet high. And in the middle of the gallery is a circle, which I'm calling a circle space. It's a curtain that's a photograph of my living room in my house.
And that's where we're standing right now,
right? Standing in the middle of my living room. But it's a circle, like a banner that's been created in a circle. And there's photos of the walls and the place of my living room.
And how did you do the photos? Was that a panorama kind of shot, or you just stitched
them? No, they're actually collaged together. I just took them with a camera, and then Zara Khan, who was helping me piece them together, and we sent them off to be printed. And here it is.
Where is the house, actually, that we're in right now? Where would this house actually be?
It's in on Carnes Lane in Provincetown on the West End, and you know, kind of tucked away in a dead-end street.
So what's the statement here, Jay, of just putting this in the middle of the room like this?
How I live and as an artist and how I live my life are so intertwined that I think the idea is let's just bring my living space into the gallery as you look around, you can see, you know, it's well, at first it looks very cluttered, which it is, but there's lots of art pieces and things. You know, basically, I live in Provincetown in a small house, and there's no room for anything, you know, so you have to find spaces. So, you know, the walls get covered, and the tables and the bookshelves, and we thought it would give sort of an intimate look at my space and where I do, where I think, and where I am most of the time.
Well, take me around. Show me some of the stuff here.
Okay. This is the corporate logo wall. And as I said before, a lot of my projects are, I create logos for. Some of them are more formal than others. Like, for instance, the Old Glory Condom Corporation was an actual corporation with patriotic condoms. And that project, I received a trademark from the U.S. government. I challenged them to grant me a trademark, and they actually at first denied it. They said it was immoral and scandalous to associate the flag with sex. Mm-hmm. But eventually, with a lawyer from the Center for Constitutional Rights, I eventually got the trademark. This particular wall is a sand wall that I made with objects that are encrusted with sand or covered with fish skins. I mean, it seems like I have a penchant for covering things up. So we have the Pietà, which is about 10 inches high, and it's covered with white, the white belly of the flounder. And we have Nancy Ann's shoes. These are high heel shoes that are covered with flounder skins as well. And the Capitol, U.S. Capitol building encrusted with sand. This was a project I did at Christmas time. You see Santa Claus. It was called Yes, Virginia, There is a Sand, a Claus.
How do you actually do the encrusting? I mean, when you're ready to do this, what's
it's kind of like an Elmer's glue, like a liquid latex clear, and you paint it on the surface, and then you sprinkle different colored sands on it.
A few years ago, Critchley sand-coated the entire surface of a motel in North Truro that was scheduled for demolition.
I had a crew working, two people, three of us working for like 2 weeks. We had sandblasters, we had the spray paint and mm-hmm. guns, and yeah, it was a lot of surface area, let me tell you.
What was the first sand encrusting project that you did, and what sort of gave you the idea? I know we talked about it a little bit a minute ago, but I'm just curious how you first came up with the idea.
Well, there was a contest that the Chamber of Commerce had to create a sign for Welcome to Provincetown sign on Route 6. And so I thought, well, I had this old car sitting in my yard. It was a Coronet 500 station wagon. And so I just had the idea to encrust it in sand. The state said we can't put it on Route 6, and the chamber said, well, we don't know what to do with it, so I thought, well, I'll just put it in the parking lot. And I called it the McMillan Wharf Parking Lot Gallery. Mm-hmm. And so it showed up in the parking lot, and then that created a whole, you know,
hubbub. Buzz, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, the town wanted to tow it away, and there was a public hearing about it. Is it art? Is it not art? You know, that kind of thing, which, of course, was part of the idea.
Does it happen a lot that your work may not be accepted as quote-unquote art, but it generates that buzz, and then that's how it generates people's interest over time?
I would say it has a very contemporary, you know, I do respond to very particular issues in the media, particularly environmental issues or AIDS-related issues. So, yeah, it's meant to create some awareness, some dialogue, some, you know, even humor. I think humor gets, you know, once you get below the humor, you come to get to a more subliminal place mm-hmm. where you can think about, you know, oh, that wasn't really so funny, was it? No, it was actually, yeah, you know, there's a serious issue under this. So mm-hmm. I think that the definition of art is really very fluid. It has been fluid, more so now. I mean, mm-hmm. So that's an ongoing discussion. What is art, and what is the purpose of art, and what is the function of art?
And yours obviously, you know, pushes the envelope in some ways, but that's the whole point of it, right?
Well, the point is to figure out the best way to communicate an idea. You know, so a lot of my work is very conceptual. You know, what is the idea and what is the best way to communicate it, whether it's a press conference or a sculpture, an installation, a video. It depends on the idea.
And here's the photographs of that sand-encrusted motel in various light shades.
I call it an A-frame with wings. It's got this very yeah. strange, and the actual building was the office of the motel.
Right. I guess the actual units were torn down long before this building.
Yes. There was extended two-story units that weren't very interesting, but the office part, which was closest to the highway. The whole idea of the Beige Motel comes from the concept. There were two scientists, physicists from Johns Hopkins University, that determined that the average color of the universe was beige after they looked at 200,000 galaxies. So everyone was surprised that that would be the color. Well, of course, dune sand is beige. So this renewed my interest in sand, about six years ago, the Beige Motel was, you know, I encrusted it in sand. But each week I changed the color at night outside the motel. So when you went by, you could see orange, green, red, or blue, depending on what week you were there. And it was all about the idea of the color spectrum, you know, the different colors of the color spectrum that end up creating beige.
How long was this installation up before the motel was torn down?
Well, it was supposed to be up for one summer, and then it was supposed to be torn down, but they actually didn't tear it down for like a year or so after. People were very interested in preserving the building, so I put it up on eBay for sale because, you know, the London Bridge was sold.
Right.
And it's now in the Southwest. So I figured someone might buy it on eBay. Nobody did.
I'm speaking with Provincetown visual artist Jay Critchley. We'll be back right after this break.
Welcome back to The Point. I'm Brian Morris, filling in for Mindy Todd. Today we're getting a preview of a new exhibit at the Provincetown Art Association and Museum. Provincetown artist Jay Critchley has been creating art in many different forms for more than 30 years. A retrospective of his work, titled Jay Critchley Incorporated, opens at the museum this Friday.
This is the famous Sandy Carr here, right?
The Sand Carr, and we've got the Sand family with Ron and Nancy Reagan. That was in 1982. So everything, the car was opened up the second year, and you could see into the car with all the paraphernalia encrusted in different colors of sand. And, of course, Ronnie and Nancy are in the front seat.
Yeah, I can see where that would have generated a lot of curiosity and buzz and everything else.
Well, the town was saying that it was a threat to life and limb because there were so many people around the car that, you know, it was dangerous. That's why they wanted it towed. But what happened was that the police chief asked the towing company to tow it, but the towing company is licensed by the state. So the towing company said, if we tow that, we'll lose our license because it's legal, it's registered, it has a parking sticker,
So what was the outcome?
The outcome was that they didn't tow it.
And how long did it stay there?
The whole summer. Four different summers I had different cars in the parking lot.
All right, so now we're standing next to a couple of photos that show a small, how would I describe it? It looks like some sort of a decorative Christmas box almost with a little tree in it on fire.
There you go, you got it. It's the Rerouters Day ceremony.
Okay, tell me about that.
And I formed the IRS, which is the International Rerouter Society, in 1983. I was at the town dump in Provincetown when they called them dumps.
Yeah.
There, you know, were trash, trees, everything was thrown, open, you know, pit. So I turned all the trees up and created a forest dump, which then Forrest Gump came from my forest dump. The whole idea of the International Rerouter Society is to reconnect and reroute ourselves to the earth. So it has an environmental, and it's also after the holiday season, the excessive holiday season, I call it the 12 days of stockpiling. So it's on January 7th, which is after the 12 days of stockpiling. And then it's a ritual. People come and they put things on the tree to purge from the previous year. Doesn't matter what the temperature is or the weather. I mean, the last 2 years it was like 30 degrees wind chill below zero. And there were like still 40, 50 people there.
All right, and then we have a line of various types of hats.
Yes.
To say the least.
I tend to like to wear hats, I guess you'd say. I'm known for the hats that I wear at different events, performances, interventions, also at the Provincetown Swim for Life and Paddler Flotilla, which I also run. Mm-hmm. So some of these hats are from the Swim for Life or, well, we can go down the line. This is a hat that's made from a rubber tube with a red lobster on the top. This was last year's Swim for Life. The Swim for Life is held every year in September to raise money for AIDS, women's health, and the community. And that's this rubber tire hat. Then we have a fishkin-covered pillbox hat, which is a Jackie Onassis hat. And then we have a pith helmet, with a historic pith helmet with a red cross on the front with a cell phone and all the wires hanging from the back. And that was at the one of the Swim for Lives recently, mm-hmm. Swims for Life.
So now this is an old school.
This is a could be a athletic hat, but it's all actually found this in New Mexico, and mm-hmm. on top of it is a tiger in green glitter, just glued to the top. And then of course this is the iconic lobster claw helmet, which I used at the first public AIDS healing ceremony in 1983. So this is a helmet with 30-pound lobster claws. On top of it with feathers. This is the hat from the Beige Motel. We can make a little sound from it. It's made out of the room keys. And it has a birch bark canoe on top to pay homage also to the Native Americans, because the Pilgrim Spring Motel, which was originally based on the spring that the pilgrims first got water from, which is nearby in Truro.
So, Jay, here we're in front of what looks like an authentic outhouse from Provincetown?
Yes, it's a historic one-seater that I acquired. I collect outhouses. I've been interested in the whole septic and human waste since I found an abandoned septic tank in my backyard. And I created a septic summer rental unit, and I created a theater in the ground in this circular, beautiful, historic septic tank. So this outhouse, it's called the I-Zone, and a while back I did a radio program called Scat Chat. And so there's headphones on either side of the outhouse where people can listen to the different programs on headphones. There's like 12 programs. And, you know, it starts out with music by Engelbert Humperdinck, Please Release Me, Let Me Go. And then there's a section called Let Go, Let God. And then we have interviews with people. And we have a section called Scatty Cathy. And now let me show you this. This piece is called Twin Towers Snapshots. And it's a sculpture about the Twin Towers, but it's made from throwaway flash cameras that have been programmed on a motion sensors to flash when you walk in. They're two hanging towers. They're not stationary, so they're kind of like perhaps kind of ghostly images of the Twin Towers.
And sand encrusted, I noticed, too?
They're sand encrusted. They're Kodak throwaways with sand, a light sand encrustation.
So what is the connection there between the use of the cameras and the statement that you're making about 9/11?
Well, that is a good question. I don't think that we've really closely examined 9/11 in terms of the iconic imagery of the towers themselves. And I think that the whole idea of the camera is that, you know, it's taking pictures of us, that we are, you know, we can't escape the Twin Towers, the image of the Twin Towers. I don't think that we fully understood the impact of the Twin Towers. They're kind of hovering over the ground. They're not grounded. They're hanging.
Suspended from the ceiling. Yeah.
And, you know, the whole idea of flash cameras is they're throwaways. These are old-fashioned throwaway cameras. And we've all been shot by the tower, you know. So I think there's a lot of different ways you can look at this.
Sure. When did you do that one? Recently or?
Well, I put it together in 2011, which was the 10th anniversary, but this is the first time I've shown it.
Now, why is it back here in this alcove? Just because of space limitations or?
It needed its own private space. It might have gotten lost out in the main gallery. This American flag, it's about 7 feet by 4 feet, is made from tie-string surgical masks. And it's part of a project called Masquerade Ball, Who's Cover-Up? Now, I was talking earlier about covering things up with sand and fish skins, and this is sort of looks at the way that the media creates fear and panic in people, you know, particularly with the pathogens that, you know, Ebola and SARS and you know, various scares that we've had. So I'm asking the question, who decides what we should be afraid of? And is this a cover-up, you know, covering our a silencing? And what are the issues that we're avoiding when we create this fear?
Jay Critchley's exhibition called Jay Critchley Incorporated opens this Friday at the Provincetown Art Association and Museum here in Provincetown. Jay, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.